Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening, ladies and gentlemen, and welcome to Lay. This is your host, Stephanie Wallace and Tyson Cherry. Today is, Monday, October 12th, and we are going to be going over and reviewing an article that we read about myths about dating someone disabled. But before we get into that, Tyson, how are you?
I'm doing fine. Yes, I am.
Good.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. How was your week?
My week, it was okay. But today, I went to the gym today. Oh, my goodness. He worked me out today. So other people throw up, and then when they broke out too much. But I just get tired and sleepy. I don't do that.
Okay. Mm-hmm. All right. I think my whole weekend was pretty uneventful, I think. I don't think I did anything this weekend. I didn't do anything. I went grocery shopping.
No.
That's it. That's all I did. Went grocery shopping. Nothing much. My daughter called me today and asked me if I wanted to make some cake pops. And sure. Come on over. We'll make cake pops. She don't know nothing about making cake pops. I don't know nothing about cake pops. We don't have no sticks. We ain't got nothing. We got some cake balls, but they taste pretty good. Another thing before we get started, I want to mention that we have coming up an event on November 13th, Friday, November 13th. It's called Perspectives. And we're asking you guys to come out and join us at Axis. That's at 1325 Fifth Avenue in Manhattan between West 111th and West 112th Street. And what Perspectives is going to be is basically we're going to do the show, but we're going to do it with a live audience. May or may not be recorded. We're trying to work that out now. But we're going to have some fun. We're going to have some games. We're going to have some prizes. We're going to have food. We'll have a dessert bar and a nice raffle at the end. So from 7 to 10 on November 13th, Friday, November 13th, come out and join us. If you'd like more information, watch the Facebook page. The information will be there. We'll be putting up an event posting. And also, for the time being, you can write us at Love and Intimacy for the Disabled at gmail.com. Now, let's get into this article. What did you think of the article, Tyson?
To me, it would give us some good myth, good points on the myth, yes.
Mm-hmm.
One thing, one myth was the first one to me about dating someone that is not going to have a good sex life at all. That's a big lie, yes, it is. I know, to me, I thought it was not possible, but it is. I've been proven wrong many times already, yes. I have been proven wrong, yes. Yes. I was thinking the same way with these myths, you see. I was. Hello? Hello?
Hey, Tyson, are you there? Tyson? I'm sorry, I got disconnected from my own show. Let's see if we can get Tyson back. I'm sorry, guys, for the technical difficulties. But one of the things that Tyson was saying was that, one of the myths is that if you date somebody with a disability, that you'll have a less than satisfying sex life. And he was saying that, he knows that to be a myth and that he has been proven wrong several times. Is that right, Tyson?
Yes.
I'm sorry,
yes,
I got cut off.
Yes. Are you back?
That
was me.
Yeah, that was me. That was me. It was me this time. I'm sorry.
Okay.
I'm sorry.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
But one of the things, that the article had pointed out was you know, it went into the stereotypes and the images that are, you know, presented to us on what sex is. You know, we see these, you know, we see what's on TV and magazines and movies and things like that of, you know, of what sex is. And when you look at that, you know, you kind of count yourself out. You know, well, I can't do that. I can't, you know, sweep this woman off her feet or, you know, or things like that. Or, you know, you look at somebody, if you're able-bodied, you look at, you don't look at somebody. You don't
and
look at somebody.
What I do see now is that when it comes to sex, and what some women say, I can't do what the next sex tape. I see what they mean by that. Some women say, I can't do that shit now. I'm in a wheelchair. I can't do it either, you see?
See, and you got to redefine it. You have to redefine what it means to you, what it's going to be for you, you know, and that's very important, you know, that, I'm going to start talking and we're going to miss some more of the points. One of the points that I wanted to start with was myth number four on in that article, and I'm going to combine it with myth number three. Number four is friends and family won't accept, you know, the person that you're dating. And number three is that people with disabilities are damaged, and you'll end up being their caretakers. So, you know, an image plays in my head of somebody bringing home, you know, somebody with a disability and, you know, to meet their family or whatever. And that is the thought, you know, that they're damaged. What are you dating them for? Why are you going out with them? You know, because when people see this medical equipment, wheelchair, crutches, you know, and things like that, you think damaged, you know, and you think medical and you think patient, you know, so you do. I can see where the assumption can and will be made that you're going to end up, you know, being this person's caretaker, you know, and I think it's up to us as people who live with disabilities to educate others, you know, to see that this is not all of us. You know, maybe there are some people, and I'm sure there are several people, you know, who don't have an active lifestyle. But many of us have an active lifestyle, and we, if you get involved in a relationship, it's a relationship. And not a caretaker or patient relationship.
Yes.
You know, this is something that was pointed out to me a long time ago. You know, when I would talk to people about this, and I didn't understand the need for a personal assistant, a PCA, a personal care assistant, when you had family around you, you know, and somebody had pointed out to me, you know, if you got a husband or a wife or, you know, significant other, and let's say you have an argument with them, and this is a person who has to take care of you, you know, you that doesn't work out too well, you know, that doesn't work out too well. So, you know, it's good to keep that separate. And although somebody in a wheelchair, you know, or with a disability may require assistance, you know, with certain things, maybe with dressing or things like that. If that's a separate person other than your significant other, I don't see why you can't have a normal relationship, if you want to call it normal. I don't know what normal is. But you understand what I'm saying.
Yes, for sure.
You know, what about the, what do you think about this one that dating somebody with a disability would be awkward.
And
remember, we're thinking in terms of from somebody without a disability.
Yes, it will be awkward to them if they don't know not unless they know what's happening, what they're getting into. Everybody is not built for this at all, you see? You cannot assume that everybody is ready to deal with this, because you have to be a special type of person to me, I believe, yes. That's what I believe. You have to be a special type of person to deal with this, you see, and then get into a relationship with this person. Also, is another step also.
I think you just need to be an open person.
To
date somebody with any type of difference. Like, you have to be open and okay. My daughter is married to a man who's white. Right, her husband is white. Now, back in the day, coming up, my father was like, the white man is the devil. That was my father's attitude. That is something that he said to us ever since I can remember, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And so I didn't grow up thinking that. I didn't think that the white man was the devil. But when somebody knew, when somebody who you don't are not familiar with, and like somebody in a wheelchair or somebody with a disability. You have a bunch of questions. You know, you do have somebody with a difference. You may have a bunch of questions. And a lot of times those questions go into the ridiculous because this is just another person. It's just another person, you know, who has a difference. But it's not, they're not an alien, you know, and unfortunately, you know, and I'm not, it's a chance for us to educate. It's a chance. That's why I don't mind questions. I don't mind looks. I don't mind stares. You know, go ahead and ask me. Ask me.
Sure.
You know, because it's a chance for us to educate. And that's what, you know, what needs to be done, education, you know, so that people can understand. We are just people who do things differently. That's it. But I do understand this question is the one that I'm most empathetic with and understand most. I can understand how it can get awkward because you do have questions. And those questions, you know, because even me, I live with a disability. And there's still questions that I want to ask other people who have different, whose disabilities are different than mine. You know, I want to ask them certain questions, but I don't know if those questions would be offensive or not.
Mm-hmm.
You know, but I do want to ask. You know,
I had one situation myself where I was in that gym, and I found that gentleman, as I see him staring at me like he wanted to ask me a question, but I'm saying to myself, why won't you ask me the question and stop looking at me? Ask me what you want to know. That's all. Ask me if you want to. He never asked. But you know how you can feel a person looking at you?
Mm-hmm.
And yeah, I can feel him looking at me. And he would not ask me the question. He has something on his mind. Yes.
Mm-hmm.
He has something on his mind. Yes. But he would not ask me the question at all.
I wonder, because I think maybe, I wonder if, because I can remember being on a bus one time, and if there was a gentleman, you know, getting on the bus, and he was in a wheelchair, and his attitude was just so nasty and so mean, you know, and I wonder if they just think they're going to offend you by asking you a question or, you know, or whatever, but that's the it's like with anybody, Tyson, like even with, you know, dealing with somebody of a different culture or something, just get to know them and you'll see more than likely you have more in common than than you have differences, you know. And so getting to know people, this is when I came, you know, around, you know, ICS, I had my preconceived notions about people with disabilities, and getting to know them it helped me out so much.
Yes,
it helped me out so much.
Yes.
It really did. You know, it helped me. It helped me even just in that, not just dealing with people with disabilities, just in general across the board. It helped me in my don't jump first with what you think. Take a step back, you know, and look at the situation and try and find out more about a situation or about a person or about a people, you know, before you just jump to some type of conclusions or, you know, or anything like that. But this going back to the first one, the first myth about, you know, I'm sorry, that you'll have a less than fulfilling sex life if you date somebody with a disability. One of the things that I definitely like to say is that it takes a lot of patience and understanding on everybody's part. And see, we live in a time when it's a lot of hooking up, casual sex. And I don't see, and this is me personally, for a person who has disability and has situations, you know, I don't see how that can work out for them. And this is just my personal opinion and no judgment. But because when you have situations, you have to be, that is a very, just to have sex with somebody, and this is, again, my opinion, old school opinion, that's one of the most vulnerable positions that you can be in with somebody. You know, it's, and then to have sex with somebody and you have situations. You know, so it's like you kind of trust that person. You really have to have trust for this person that you are, you know, doing this with. So that understanding and that trust, and that, and then everybody has this, well, I'm not going to say everybody, but I found in my experiences and coming up, especially early on, everybody likes to pretend that they know more about sex than they do. And they go a lot by their previous partners, you know, or whatever. When you're dealing with somebody with a disability, it's a whole new ballgame. You have to learn each other. You know, and that's just in general, you got to learn each other. But now you got a whole other set of circumstances. And you really have to learn each other and trust each other and work it out. You know, because you might come to the situation with all this desire, you know, with the desire to have sex. But when you get there, it might not work out as you planned. You know, it really may not work out as you planned. You know, oh, am I still connected? I hope I'm still connected. Yes, I am. Are you still there? Okay. But it might not work out as you planned. And I'm going to go from experience again. You know, it's frustrating. It is frustrating. And sometimes that frustration can kill the desire. You know, and you're like, oh, God. You know, you trying to work, you know, situations out and everything. And you know, like I was saying about that trust, because you could get embarrassed. You can, you know, become very self-conscious. And when you are self-conscious or embarrassed, you're not being free. You know, you're not being free to enjoy the experience. So it takes a very open and understanding person, and that's, to me, that's the type of person that you want to be with anyway. You know, and when you said it, because you said a special person, and the reason why I don't like that term special is, you know, because it, well, maybe it's the same thing, because it's sort of like, you know, sometimes people look at somebody who's dealing with someone, you know, in a relationship with somebody who has a disability, like they are a good Samaritan. You know, like they're doing some type of charity or something like that. You know, it's not that way. It's not that way at all. You're in a relationship. That's it. You know? I don't know. I don't know. My experience being in
I believe some people do think that way too. They think they do love other person in the winter of pay, but you're not doing it for you.
Right.
We are in a relationship. What do you mean? You're not doing me a favor, not at all, not at all.
And yeah. Just thinking, just coming, you know, and understanding that you have to think, because we have certain roles that, you know, we've been taught that a man is supposed to play, that a woman is supposed to play. You know, you're supposed to have certain roles. And and I think sometimes, like, for ourselves, if you can't fit into that role, you know, then you feel, you know, like a little less than. You know, do you remember Dr. Mitchell Tepper? Who
no.
did the, he did the seminar that we went to?
Mm-hmm.
His name was Dr. Mitchell Tepper. And one of the things that he was saying was that his wife works outside the home, you know, and a lot of times he's home. Well, you know, he has this, you know, lecturing and things like that he does also. But it's like your roles might not be traditional anymore, you know, when you become disabled or when you're dealing with somebody with a disability. Your roles might not be traditional, but you have to redefine, you know, what things mean for you and how to work it out, you know, for yourselves and, you know, very specific to you and your relationship, you know, so that when, you know, like I know a lot of men are used to being the one who, you know, is the provider, you know, being the strong one, being the one to fix the things around the house or to, you know, open the door for, you know, for a lady, you know, or whatever. And that might have to change.
Bring home the bacon, huh?
Yeah, exactly. You know, but let me ask you, how would you feel if you went out with somebody and she had to, you know, she has to open the door and hold the door for you and things like that? Does that bother you?
No, it don't bother me in that at all. You see, because I'm in the predicament right now that I need that. You see, things change. You see, it changed a lot because I'm in the wheelchair. I need someone to open the door for me. You see, it would not bother me in that at all because I need the help.
I wondered, you know, it does how that, you know, what that dynamic is, how that is, you know, once those roles, certain roles or certain things change. I also wonder, you know, like for a woman, I don't even think that applies too much nowadays because things have changed so drastically. You know, even when you're not dealing with a disability, we don't really too much subscribe to those gender roles the way we used to, you know, where, you know, the man has to be doing this or the woman has to be doing this. We kind of mix it up a lot in our society nowadays anyway, so. And I think we're more flexible. You know, I think we're more flexible, you know, in how we're thinking, you know, and hopefully soon, you know, this disability will be incorporated into that. I mean, come on, you think 50 years ago, you know, interracial marriage, you know, just recently, gay marriage, you know, things like that. So, you know, people's minds are opening up and becoming, you know, more inclusive.
More,
so, you know, so I think the more we get out there, the more we interact with people on just an everyday level, you know, where people see that we are a part of society, not just a part of society that needs to be helped, you know, that, that we are out there, we're doing things, we have businesses, we're shopping, we're, you know, we're going to school, we're doing all of these things. You know, when people see that we're out there doing that, then, you know, I think their minds will open up. You know, because when you start to, and I don't know if it's just me, I just see so many people with disabilities now, and I don't know if that's just because I'm now with a disability,
you.
So now I notice it.
And I thought the same thing too when I see more people in wheelchair. I thought it would be me because I'm in a wheelchair. It's not
right. That's now you're just noticing it
more,
right?
It's a lot more people in wheelchairs. Yeah.
Okay, so
but
it's all right. It's not
also,
just me. My daughter even asked me.
Have you thought that taking an accessory? I never know accessory until I take it now, you see. I never noticed it before.
Never paid any attention, right?
No mind. That's
As we're out there and as we, you know, participate more in life, you know, people will see us. People will get to know us. You know, it's like you when you know somebody with a disability, when you work with somebody with a disability or go to school with them or whatever, and you get to see, hey, these people are just like me. You know, I think that whole world will, you know, start to open up and maybe some of these myths will start to be dispelled, you know, that, you know, you realize, oh, no, it's not like that, you know. And but I think also first we got to start with each other. We really do, because I this is my little personal mission to get us to see each other differently, because we look right past each other. We look right past each other, and several times I've had people, you know, say to me that they haven't dated since they, you know, have become disabled, or they haven't dated in so many years, and blah, 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 blah. And it makes me wonder, you know, is it, why, you know, why aren't we dating? Why aren't we finding love? Why aren't we finding, you know, those intimate and close relationships? You know, are we counting ourselves out? Are we looking in the wrong place? What is it, you know? I don't know. I don't know. But we'll find out through this show and through our activities, you know, and things like that. We will find out. You know, we got 90 seconds left. Do you have anything you want to say in closing?
Not right now. Not off the top of my head. No.
Okay. So I'd like to again remind you of our event, Laid Live Presenting Perspectives. We will be getting different perspectives on these type of issues. So come on out Friday, November 13th from 7 to 10 at AXIS, and that's at 1325 Fifth Avenue in Manhattan between West 111th and West 112th Street. We look forward to seeing you joining us for some fun, some games, some prizes, and some food. So, and a wonderful discussion, of course. All right, Tyson, I will see you here again next week. And hopefully we'll see you guys next week. Bye-bye.